got rid of Roe v. Wade.
I'm the one that got rid of Roe v. Wade.
I was able to do it, and I was very honored to do it.
Do you believe in punishment for abortion, yes or no, as a principle?
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah, there has to be some form.
There, of course, remains a vital role for the federal government in protecting unborn life.
Nobody has ever done more for right to life than Donald Trump. Roe v. Wade, they won. They finally won.
The Iowa bill was signed, and they wouldn't have been able to do anything if I wasn't able to do what I did.
Yeah, that. All of this, discussion, all of the pain, the panic, the confusion, this chaos that we're seeing coast to coast, but especially in places that are completely controlled, states completely controlled by the far right MAGA extreme Christian nationalists. This is all because of Donald Trump. As he will tell you again and again and again. And there's, listen, there's hundreds of Republicans, including effectively every single Republican leader in the state of Wisconsin, who ran on the let's ban abortion bandwagon. Never asked women, never thought about what are the consequences if we go down this road. Never thought like, well, how exactly are these laws going to work? Didn't understand that the 1859 law in the state of Wisconsin is a feticide law, which bans the intentional physical attack on a woman to kill her fetus. Not abortion, which is a voluntary act engaged by the woman herself. Now, not one but two judges in the state of Wisconsin have said it doesn't ban abortion. They didn't even know what their own laws said. This sloppiness has resulted in chaos. There's no other way to summarize where we're at than chaos. Regressive chaos that puts women's lives at risk and puts families' choices at risk. Couple of interesting, most interesting fact about this particular Alabama case. Now, I concur with my dear friend Colleen's statement of sympathy for the family who lost these embryos. It's such a process, as Colleen was describing. It's so expensive, and not everyone like Colleen is blessed with the benefits from their employer that helped defray these extraordinary costs, $10,000 to $25,000 per implantation cycle. The plaintiffs in the Alabama case who sued for wrongful death signed contracts at the beginning of their IVF process in which they agreed to either automatically destroy or donate to researchers their embryos if they were frozen for longer than 5 years. Or they would allow, in one case, quote, abnormal embryos to be experimented on and then discarded. Which puts an I understand I would not want my embryos destroyed unintentionally by accident or intentionally otherwise either, but they did sign a contract that said you can do just that after 5 years. What's the difference between those two situations? The choice. It is in the choosing. Why not so in all cases about this level of intimate family planning and decision making? And the answer to that question is pretty simple. Because only in certain areas of the law and our democracy, women ain't just going to be treated equal to men. Not equal. And where does that come from? It basically all ties back to this regressive, uber-traditional version and perversion, in my estimation, of Christian orthodoxy. That's where most of it, or I would say religious extremism in almost any form. I don't care which religion it is, pick one. And you turn that up to its most extreme version, and guess what it involves? Women ain't equal to men. Women, you cover your heads in church or you sit in the balcony, right? Or you wear a complete head-to-toe covering with just your eyeballs shut. Like, all of this repeated over and over again in all different variation and form. Now, that's not every single religion on the planet, but it's damn near all the big ones. In their extreme versions, women are not equal to men in nearly all of the world's major religions. Women can't be priests. How many female imams do you know? Not a lot. I know a lot of female rabbis. That's because most Jews in the United States are Reform Jews.
And conservative Masorti movement allows female rabbis now, too. And there are a few happening in the
Moments
Orthodox movement.
I got to jump in. Sorry, I got to throw that in there. Let's get the complete
We're
picture.
We're trying.
That's right. That is important.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's all of this goes back to elevating religion above our founding principle of the separation of religion and state, church and state. And if a religion is now going to be government, which, by the way, is the express objective of the Christian nationalist movement, which was hatched about 60 years ago and has now found recent purchase in a brand new and very scary way. If religion is government in these United States, whose religion and what version of it? Truth becomes very much subjective reality. But who happens to be sitting in the chair? Whose religion? Well, my religion, because I'm the decider. And in the case of the Alabama Supreme Court, one of those deciders is one of the scariest guys I've ever heard talk about the law. Let's just listen to the tape. This is cut number two. This is the Alabama Supreme Court Chief Justice Parker. Just last week.
Describe to us.
Really, my heart was involved in the first wave of the religious liberty defense that swept this country. And it's interesting. I've never seen anything written about it. But all of a sudden, attorneys all across the country with no connection whatsoever were filing the same type cases for religious defense. And that had to be a move of the Holy Spirit.
That's approximately what years?
That was in the 80s.
Okay.
And out of that have risen major national religious defense organizations, religious universities, so many different organizations that did not exist at that time. It was just individual attorneys working at their call that they had after God had burdened their heart. And so I was involved in that. And through that, we got to meet each other eventually and form some very nice networks that have continued even until today.
Let me interrupt.
Do you have the where he talks about God making government? That's what I want.
Anything else that comes to you that the Holy Spirit might stir up in you or that comes to mind? And then before we're done, I'm just going to ask you to pray for others, but just anything else.
Well, Johnny, I will say that God created government. And the fact that we have let it go into the possession of others is heartbreaking for those of us who understand, and we know it is for him. And that's why he is calling and equipping people to step back into these mountains right now. And as I said earlier, if he calls you, he's faithful.
Yeah.
He will do it.
Yeah.
And so respond with wisdom and proceed with wisdom.
I've had enough of this guy's wisdom. I don't know about you. God made government, and we need to take it back from those who have taken possession? You mean those that don't share your religious viewpoints? This is insane. This is absolutely insane. If you would oppose the imposition of Sharia law in the United States, this too you must oppose. This guy wrote a concurring opinion in the IVF decision. And he quotes the Bible in a legal decision. Are you effing kidding me? Quote, human life cannot be wrongfully destroyed without incurring the wrath of a holy God. Why is this in a legal decision? It belongs in a church from a pulpit. With all due respect, Justice Parker, I don't care what you think about the wrath of God, and how dare you tell me what I should think about it. That is what is offensive. He continues, the wrath of a holy God who views the destruction of his image as an affront to himself. You know what's an affront to American people? Legal decisions like this. You are an affront to American jurisprudence, sir. He continues, even before birth, all human beings bear the image of God and their lives cannot be destroyed without effacing his glory. No, sir. That is what you say in your church. You pray with your family. But those statements have no place in American legal reasoning. How dare you, sir, to say that government, this government, was created by God and we need to retake possession of it. Possession of it from whom? The infidels? Who would that be? Women? Women who have abortions? Women who don't get married? What about men that have sex outside of marriage? Wait a minute, what about men that use Viagra outside of marriage? Where, sir, does the wrath of God, according to you, stop and the rule of law begin? This guy's 72 years old. He was elected to the Alabama Supreme Court in 2004 and won the Chief Justice's seat in 2018. This is who they picked to lead their court. Mm-hmm. And Robin Voss wants to talk about Justice Protasiewicz. His term ends in 2025. By the way, we won't have to be graced again with Justice Tom Parker because Alabama state law prohibits judges older than 70 from being elected. He also said that God created every person in his image. This is a nice little quotation to Genesis he gave us in the decision. The principle itself that human life is fundamentally distinct from other forms of life and cannot be taken intentionally without justification has deep roots that reach back to the creation of man in the image of God.
That's not how that works.
This guy needs to go back to law school. Who do you think you are? You're not the boss of me, and you don't tell me what I have to believe in terms of religion. What if I don't believe in God? You still don't get to tell me what to do. What if I do believe in God? You don't get to tell me what to do in a court decision based on your religious views. I don't know. How much more simple can this be, sir? Constitutional law 101 is calling you.
On air.
I know you're nervous. The founders were divinely inspired to set it up the way they did. They set it up in accordance with biblical principles. Don't get me started. But the point is that the religion and morality had to be maintained. And now we're being led from the White House on down to reject and marginalize religious values and to, as Senator Guillory was saying, to just erase all of our moral codes and look down upon those who would try to stand up and say, no, we have to maintain those. We live in a postmodern culture. And postmodernism is defined by the absence of truth. All truths are relative. You know what that makes the claims of the Bible? Inherently intolerant. You know, truth has been replaced as the greatest virtue in society by tolerance. Well, we're the inherently intolerant ones who say, wait a minute, life is sacred because we're endowed by our Creator. We're certain inalienable rights. We have to stand up for those. Oh, you bigot. Can't you be a little more open-minded? Come on. That's so like 18th century, you know. Well, they told us that if we didn't maintain those 18th century values, that the Republic would not stand. And so this is the condition we find ourselves in today. Don't get me started. Don't pitch me a softball, Charlotte. I'll just keep going. Keep going.
A softball, sir? Our Republic requires 18th century values? By the way, Speaker, and does this sound familiar to you, to anybody? It's like the same stuff, rinse, wash, repeat. Justice Parker, same garbage. Speaker Johnson, same garbage. Trump is just, I'm the one that did it, so thank me, elect me. All of this is about elevating the rights of one group of people and the interests of one group of people above the rights and interests of others. And if we're defining who gets the benefit of the doubt, the benefit of the law, and we're defining that based on what the deal was in the 18th century, again, it's not Anya. It's not me. It's not black folks. It's not brown folks. It's not immigrants. It's no women. And it certainly ain't working folks. Morality is not the equivalent, is not equivalent to religion. Religion is not presumptively moral. Morality is a separate concept. One can be very moral and be an atheist. One can be extremely religious and also totally amoral and immoral. Our democracy, our government, was founded on the principle of the separation of church and state, because what our founding fathers knew was when the state, when government claims a divine right, claims to know the truth, the one and only truth, their claim to power becomes unquestionable. Where do we find ourselves now, folks? Does it seem like that might be what's going on? That is why the founding fathers separated religion from government, because they realized that religion can be lied about, it can be twisted, it can be weaponized to oppress, to take away choice. Is that not exactly where we find ourselves today? Because in some ways, some religions or the versions of them espoused by people that, like Mike Johnson, are inherently intolerant. Yes, I agree with Speaker Johnson on that point. Some religions, when taken to their extreme and weaponized and used in certain ways, are inherently intolerant because they value some groups over others. No, I will not obey my husband. He is not my master. I reject language of primacy of one gender over the other. That, I believe, is immoral, sirs. The outcry from legal scholars to the Alabama Supreme Court's ruling writ large, but in particular Justice Parker's concurrence, is not loud enough. For Alabamans, why is this okay when it's your team? Right? President Biden in the State of the Union said, you can't love your country only when you win. That's true in Alabama too, ain't it? In Georgia, in Texas, in Florida, in Wisconsin, in Michigan, in New York, everywhere. We can't love our Constitution only when it works for the ways that we believe. Our principles will always be tested. Our values will be tested when it's the person that we disagree with, the faith tradition that we disagree with, that's asking for equal protection under the law and for enforcement of those equal protections under the law. And the abysmal state of things is this: the Supreme Court and the Alabama Supreme Court and Mike Johnson, they actually have dispensed with the artifice, with the fig leaf of equal under the law. Now they're saying to women and others, no, you will not even be equal under the law. More on Chief Justice Parker, because, you know, can't be done yet. He was the assistant attorney general under Jeff Sessions. Remember the little elfin man that was Trump's attorney general? Yeah, worked for him. He was an aide to Roy Moore. I reminded everyone of that. Roy Moore, in case you forgot, ran for Senate in Alabama. He was the guy that liked to entice girls under the age of 16 into very inappropriate alleged relationships, repeatedly, multiple allegations. And by the way, Roy Moore had to be dismissed from the Alabama Supreme Court because he ignored multiple federal court rulings that said he had to remove the Ten Commandments from the Alabama State Judicial Building. Because, like, hey, Ten Commandments? How about the seven pillars of Islam? You going to give everybody a fair shake?
How about the 613 commandments that Jews have? Those are just our top 10. We got to get a lot more tablets in that building
many
if we're going to be fair.
Many tablets.
Many tablets.
Many tablets. Multiple federal courts. They had to finally kick him off the court. That's when he decided he'd run for Senate. I mean, of course. And guess what? When Parker was elected to the Supreme Court in 2004, he went to Washington, D.C. And here's a little, this is the quiz question, then we're going to take a couple important messages. You're not going to want to, don't want to miss the rest of the takedown of Chief Justice Parker, but here's the little quiz for Anya and all of you listening along at home. When he went to Washington, D.C. because he wanted to have his swearing in there, whom do you think he had preside over his swearing in? I'll give you a hint. It's someone currently on the Supreme Court of the United States.
I get to guess, or do we want to wait?
You guess. I'm not going to tell everybody until we come back from break.
Okay, my guess is Clarence Thomas.
All right, what's your guess? Talk, call us, text. I'll take your guesses when we come back. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Who swore Justice Parker into the Alabama Supreme Court in 2004? More on the Maggie Dawn Show when we come back after these important messages.
Maybe I just wouldn't know what to do with my strength anyway. Have we become a habit? Do we just own the facts? Now there's no looking forward. Now there's no turning. Ni le bien qu'on m'a fait, ni le mal, tout ça m'est bien égal.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're talking about the Alabama IVF decision, which is, of course, the natural extension of the position of the Republican Party that human life begins at fertilization, which means if you accidentally destroy an embryo, you killed someone and can be held civilly liable for that. Wonder when the criminal laws are going to start rolling in on that. Of course, those criminal laws have been prosecuted to no end in states like Texas, punishing the heck out of women. But of course, when it comes to men that engage in feticide, which is harming a woman to kill her fetus without her permission, not so much on the criminal enforcement. I'm going to get to that story because that also happened in the last month in the news. But we were talking about this crackpot justice of the Alabama Supreme Court, Chief Justice, I might add, who basically believes that the United States government should be run as a Christian government, and that he gets to decide which version of Christianity that, like, him and the people that agree with him and no other version of Christianity. I mean, does Joel Osteen count? Is prosperity theology in there? And trust me, it is, right? In case you haven't heard me go off on prosperity theology, it basically means if you're rich, that's good because God loves you. And if you're poor, screw you because you deserve to be poor. It's prosperity theology in a nutshell. Done. See, it was really easy. They talk about that for hours, sermons for hours. 20 seconds on the Maggie Dawn Show. So, again, before we went to break, I teased out a little quiz. Who do you think swore crackpot Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court into the Supreme Court in 2007? I will tell you the answer in a few moments, but I couldn't miss the opportunity to tell you more about what this genius has said. In the IVF decision, Alabamans have required us to treat every human being in accordance with the fear of a holy God who made them in his image. No, they didn't. Yes, Alabama now has a constitutional amendment that basically says human life begins at conception, but it doesn't mention God. And it doesn't say anything about the fear of a holy God. He's also said this, when judges don't rule in the fear of the Lord, everything's falling apart. The whole world is coming unglued. When judges don't rule in the fear of the Lord?
Right.
Ew. No, please don't rule in the fear of the Lord. I'd prefer you to leave God out of my court case. Thank you. He also has, obviously, this guy invokes scripture all the time in his judicial decisions, which is, again, this is so creepy. Why are you talking about God in a court ruling? Disgusting. And he doesn't leave it there. He actually criticizes his peers on the Supreme Court that don't invoke God. So it's not like good enough for a judge to or a justice to remain silent on the topic of religion in the legal system. No, like if you are silent about it, then you get criticized by Justice Parker.
It's one thing to be like, hey, don't take the Lord's name in vain. And that's a step too far. But then to be like, hey, do take the Lord's name sometimes. Won't you forcefully?
Yes.
Like that's
to believe what I believe.
How do you?
I'm going to force God into your heart and your mouth and your mind.
I'm going to pray at you so hard.
Right. Takes laying hands to a whole new level. I mean, what? So anyways, here, drum roll. Who, of course, swore this guy in? Anya's guest was Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas. Ding, 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 ding. Winner.
I win?
You win.
What do I win?
Smartest gal of the day. Smartest person of the day. Let's not restrain it to women.
Thank you.
Of course it's Clarence Thomas. And we played sound in the last segment. We're going to just hear a taste of it. Okay. And I got to set it up because like this sound comes from Justice Parker's interview last week with QAnon supporter Johnny Enlow, who has written the, quote, Seven Mountain Prophecy. The Seven Mountain Prophecy is this philosophy of the far Christian nationalist right that it's sort of like this weird mix of, you know, like natural law and like only Christians can serve in government and the United States government is ordained by God, but in a Christian way, and everything needs to be aligned according to Christian faith traditions in the United States. And they use it and twist it to support all kinds of things like you can't ever regulate guns. Women need to just listen to their husbands and stay at home. And of course, it has this very violent languaging and imaging about anyone who opposes them or, of course, anybody in the LGBTQIA plus community. And it's the language, the rhetoric is very much bathed in the blood of patriots-ish.
Yeah, a lot of blood talk. A
lot of blood talk. And well, of course, that gets us back to Senator Katie Britt's rebuttal of the State of the Union. It all comes together, and I'm going to do it in this hour before we even get to the top of the hour. Just give us a little snippet of that first cut. This is about the Seven Mountains philosophy.
I ask you to pray for
hated government.
Anything else?
Well, Johnny, I will say that God created government. And the fact that we have let it go into the possession of others.
Yeah, I mean, it could go on. This is the foundational principle of the Seven Mountains prophecy. Anytime anybody's like, man, about prophecy, I know what the prophecy is. Perhaps, sir, you may be a false prophet, which I think there was a book that told me to beware of the false prophets. But, you know, maybe that's just my religion and not yours. And here's what this guy said on the day he was sworn in. The very God of Holy Scriptures, the creator, is the source of law, life, and liberty. That is the philosophy of natural law. It sounds innocuous, like, oh, science. No, it's not science. It's everything is God has ordered things, and that's, we have to follow God's order as interpreted by whom? Me, Justice Parker and Mike Johnson and other religious right wing nuts. I say all of this, I have no problem if you want to practice your faith in your church, in your house of worship, in your family, in your home, privately. Keep your church, keep your book of worship, keep your house of worship off my body, off my mind, off my heart. I get to choose. That's the American value. There is no state religion. This is not a theocracy. And if it becomes a theocracy, it will become an autocracy, and that's the place that Donald Trump is trying to lead us. Now, how does this relate to Katie Britt? Of course, there's the, we're bathed in the blood. I mean, who says the words "we're bathed in the blood of patriots"? It's just creepy. Everything about what she said was creepy. But she gave this long story about a woman's terrible gang rape. And it was all lies. Basically, other than the facts of the that this happened to a particular individual, all of the insinuations that it happened during Joe Biden's term, that it happened because of Joe Biden's policies, that she was human trafficked over the border from the from Mexico into the United States. That's all of those things are lies. I'm going to explain all that. But I wanted to point out the case of Catherine Herring. Okay, she's a Texas woman whose husband wanted to divorce her, but she got pregnant with their third child. And so for a course of over a month, he tried to poison her with an abortion drug so that she would lose the baby. Proven in a court of law, the district attorney, now this is a cute little twist. The district attorney who is going to prosecute her husband for seven times trying to poison her with an abortion drug against her will so that she would lose the baby, which according to the state of Texas is a person at the moment of conception. So he tried to kill his child seven times according to the state of Texas. The district attorney responsible for prosecuting this guy then left the district attorney's office and went to work for whom? The law firm that the husband hired to defend him, and he ended up with a 180-day sentence. Women have been sentenced for over 10 years in places like the state of Texas for trying to get an abortion voluntarily. Justice ain't equal, friend. It's certainly not even blind, especially if you're a woman or a person of color. And, you know, meanwhile, as all of this is happening, France was busy last week on the very day that Alabama handed down this bit of religious garbage. France was busy signing into their constitution a woman's right to choose, the fundamental concept of equity. Here's the French president last Monday.
Nous avons une dette morale.
We have a moral debt to all those women, who suffered in their flesh, even dying for wanting to be free. Yes, those needles of those carrying out the abortions. Yes, the secrecy, going abroad to have an abortion, it haunts us. Yes, we are haunted by the suffering and by the memory of so many women that for dozens of years suffered not being able to be free, even paying with their lives the price of injustice the lawmakers, male lawmakers, wanted to impose on them.
Le législateur exclusivement masculin voulait maintenir sur elle.
What a powerful statement. It's a very explicit, very clear, women must have access to abortion in to be truly equal in a democracy. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. There's a whole bunch of really interesting French historical jurisprudence about how the French Constitution basically ignored women. It was an extremely sexist document. And so part of what the French president is saying is, like, this is a new day when we are acknowledging the full personhood of women in France, and that necessitates access to abortion for all women. And by the way, in France, up to 14 weeks, 16 weeks. I don't know the exact number off the top of my head. You can get the state to help fund your abortion. It's that central. All right. If you didn't listen to the State of the Union, you may have missed Senator Katie Britt's creepy, weird, like cringe-inducing rebuttal. Perhaps the most like charged portion of her rebuttal, she recounted a story of a woman who, by Katie Britt's words, she met and talked to during President Biden's term. She implied that the woman was then human trafficked across the border by Mexican drug cartels and then was gang raped in the United States. These are all lies. This event did happen to a woman who had no foreknowledge that Miss Britt was going to use her story. I want to repeat that because I talk about performative politics all the time on my show. Performative politics means using a speech, a moment, legislation to promote yourself, often doing harm when you know nothing will come of it, simply to get your name in the papers or to use power for power's sake. And it often results in either nothing, but in its worst and most exploitative version, it does harm. How do you think this woman felt that this happened to, who was gang raped? Raped repeatedly, how do you think she felt hearing this woman without her permission tell her story? If that is not the height of political exploitation, I don't know what is. And the woman has no explicit public political stance pro-Trump, pro-Brit, pro-whatever, or pro-Biden or anti-any of those people at all. She talks, she has a public set of apolitical positions that she has taken about a set of issues. No permission. Britt just told her story and she lied about it. I'm going to break all those lies down when we come back and pull all this together, including what this crackpot said, Representative Nancy Mace, on George Stephanopoulos talking about Britt's disgusting lies this past Thursday in response to the president's State of the Union. You're not going to want to miss a minute of it. Keep it locked, everybody. We'll be back with more on the Maggie Dawn Show in just a moment. Keep on running because the winner don't quit on themselves. Welcome back, Wisconsin. I want to quit on Katie Britt because gross. How do you lie about another woman's experience of like horrifying rape on national TV in the most politically charged terms imaginable without asking her permission first? Like, what kind of a terrible person do you have to be? And if Britt didn't know that, if Senator Britt didn't know that, then I doubled down on my comments from Friday where I said, I feel like she was done a grave disservice by whomever got her to give that bizarre speech. But ultimately, she's responsible for it because the words came out of her mouth. Here are the lies. The story of Miss Carla Jacinto Romero, her repeated rapes did not happen during the Biden administration. They did not happen as a result of any immigration policy that Mr. Biden or even Mr. Trump had. Those events occurred nearly 20 years ago. Senator Britt lied twice about that. She implied that Ms. Jacinto Romero was brought from Mexico to the United States and raped in the United States. That's a lie. Her sexual assault occurred in Mexico. She didn't have this happen to her at the hands of Mexican cartels. She was basically tricked by a pimp. It wasn't the Mexican drug cartels. Lie number three. She says, we wouldn't be okay with this happening in a third world country. This is the United States of America. That's the... It makes you think it happened in the U.S. Again, it didn't. That's the lie. Again, no cartels, didn't happen in the U.S., didn't happen during President Biden's term, and it didn't happen because of any policies or policies that he either does or doesn't have under President Biden. It's all a pack of lies. And she did it without talking to the lady. Disgusting. It's exploitation. It's the gaslighting of America. And it's she's bringing together two issues that are so important. Immigration and women's bodily autonomy. And the irony here, of course, is that she's using this lie, this conceit, this gaslighting of America to argue for tougher border policies. Guess what, Senator? The story you just told advocates and requires us to extend more compassion to people like Ms. Jacinto Romero so that they have a safe place to escape the sort of pimping and abuse and exploitation that was happening to her in Mexico nearly 20 years ago. The second disgusting irony is that you're talking about rape as if it somehow offends you at your core. If that's true, ma'am, then why are you not offended by this man running for president in 2024 by the name of Donald Trump, who has been found by a court of law to have committed rape? It is performative politics at its worst. Exploitation based on a lie, based on an idea that this woman and the GOP can manipulate your fears by lying to you repeatedly. And oh, by the way, in the state of Alabama, she wouldn't be able to get an abortion if she got pregnant as the result of her rape. This is stolen pain. This is exploited pain. How dare you, Senator Britt, and how dare your surrogates and you get on television and then defend it? Let's listen to her try to defend this garbage, this exploitation, this stealing of Ms. Jacinto Romero's pain on Fox this weekend.
Joining me now, Alabama, that just this next batch of bills has to come through to avoid a government shutdown on the 22nd. A lot of heavy lifting there. But let's talk about your response to the State of the Union address, which has gotten a lot of headlines. One of the fans was former President Trump. He loved it. He said it was compassionate and caring. But you've had a lot of critics out there, and I want to talk about specifically one anecdote that I've heard you tell before. It is a horrific story of a sex trafficking survivor. Nobody is questioning that the story happened, that she is actually who she is, says she is, and that this happened. The question is about the timing and the implication of you telling the story. The New York Times has this. Right. None of this happened during President Biden's administration, but that didn't stop the first-term senator from strongly implying that the president could have somehow prevented it from happening, using rhetoric that seems calibrated to inflame public fears about immigration. Did you mean to give the impression that this horrible story happened on President Biden's watch?
No, Shannon, look, I very specifically said this is what President Biden did during his first 100 days. Minutes after coming into office,
What? Even her answer doesn't make any sense. Did you mean to imply that this happened under President Biden's watch? No. This happened, and then she goes on to talk about what President Biden did in the first 100 days. When you've screwed up, here's what. Say you're sorry. I thought that was an American value. Say you're sorry, because otherwise, you're sorry. A sorry excuse for a senator? And in this woman's opinion, a sorry advocate for women who have endured sexual assault, of which I am one. Ms. Britt, your State of the Union and your State of the Union response and your defense of the twisting, of the gaslighting, of the political performance that exploited Ms. Jacinto Romero's horrifying story offends me. We owe women more than that garbage. We owe women more than the idea that a woman belongs only in the kitchen or in a bedroom, or only can be defined as a wife and a mother, Senator Britt. This is on top of the repeated lies constantly told about immigrants and migrants in this country. It's all part of the same lie. And lies don't become truth the more they are repeated. I didn't get to Nancy Mace, but I'm not going to forget her, folks. I will come back with Nancy Mace tomorrow. We're also going to talk about PFAS and the lawsuits going on. You're not going to want to miss a minute of it. Thanks for hanging with me. I know this was a bit of a barn burner today, but it needed to be. These are issues we got to talk about, folks, because if France is leading us in acknowledging the humanity of women and our equality with men must be enshrined legally, not just in theory, and then protected practically every day, we should be looking at ourselves pretty damn hard in the mirror. I'm Maggie Dawn. Thanks for listening. I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But always remember, it's better when we stand together. May the last one burn into flames.